The frustration and fear felt by Guatemalans, he says that vigilante groups pose their own danger.
The problem with these patrols is that they don't work in coordination with the police. They commit abuses and illegal acts. They can violate the human rights of those who aren't in agreement with their actions.
Until the government here is able to control spiraling crime, it's clear that ordinary Guatemalans will continue to mete out justice with their own hands, for better or for worse. David Mercer, Al Jazeera, in Quetzaltenango, Guatemala.
Thanks for listening to Al Jazeera English on the Radio, broadcast exclusively by the Pacifica Radio Network, free speech radio.
Got questions about your computer?
Mm-hmm.
Want to know about the latest electronics?
Yeah.
Are you confused by high-definition TV?
A little.
Well, tune into WBAI every Wednesday at 8 p.m. for the Personal Computer Show.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's every Wednesday on WBAI 99.5 FM.
Oh.
So why don't you tell a friend?
Well, okay.
And tell your boss.
Well.
Hey, call your mom and tell them about the Personal Computer Show every Wednesday at 8 p.m. on WBAI 99.5 FM.
Oh, okay.
Hi, this is Bobby Humphrey. You know, it's been 40 years and I'm celebrating my anniversary, and I think it would be a great idea if we got together and had lunch and have a concert. I'm going to be over in Brooklyn. Brooklyn Academy of Music is having the Brooklyn Academy of Music R&B Festival. Come and hang out with me and my band this Thursday,
July 30th,
at Metrotech from 12 to 2. Hope to see you there.
Come connect to culture and community at the 40th Annual International African Arts Festival, Friday, July 1st through Monday, July 4th at Brooklyn's Commodore Barry Park from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Four exciting days of entertainment, food, family fun, and great shopping at our African marketplace. Please come and join us. For more information, 718-638-6700 or check out our website at www.iaafestival.org. Spread the word, bring your family, and tell a friend.
It's 7 o'clock. You're listening to WBAI New York. Coming up in the next hour, a special documentary, Verizon, What Went Wrong? It's a very special episode of Off the Hook. Good evening, everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Wednesday evening, joined tonight by Mike.
Hi there.
Red Hag.
Hello.
Dot Red.
Hello. Are
we waking you up there? All right, Jim.
Hello.
And Bernie S. down in Philadelphia.
Greetings from Philadelphia.
And joining us also tonight, all the way from where?
Well, Amsterdam.
Okay, Bicycle Mark. Well, you come from so many different places sometimes.
It's, I know.
Second only to Mitch, but welcome everybody, and I'm back. I was touring around the country, driving cars and taking trains and airplanes and things like that, but nothing compares to the excitement that I've been having over the past week, starting with basically moments after the show ended last week. I don't know. You know, I'm not one to be paranoid. You know that. I'm not.
I don't believe you.
Why are you scoffing, Red Hag? No, that's definitely scoffing. I'm not. You think I'm paranoid?
Emmanuel.
Go ahead, Bernie.
Have you forgotten Dr. Johnny Fever's infamous statement that when everybody's out to get you, paranoia is just good thinking?
That's right. That's right. And Kurt Cobain said something like that, too. But the point is, it's not just one target here. It's a lot of us. It's a lot of us that are kind of in the spotlight, I guess. But people that are being watched all the time. We talk about this. We talk about this week after week, and we see it happen. We see it happen to people we know. We see it happen to people we don't know. And Off the Hook has sort of become a focal point for that. And over the last few weeks, and actually the last couple of years, with the whole WikiLeaks thing and various other controversial incidents that have been going on, kind of the hacker world has been in the crosshairs of the mainstream. So it's not entirely surprising that somebody with power would take it upon themselves to do something about it, to maybe silence the voices that are a bit controversial, a bit annoying to them. Bernie, I think you know what I'm talking about. We've had incidents like this in the past where our efforts have been stymied by somebody who has just maybe just a little bit too much power.
And it just sometimes seems to go beyond the realm of coincidence.
Yeah, well, exactly, especially if you don't believe that there are any such things as coincidences, which I do, actually. I do believe that there are sometimes coincidences, but not always. But I don't know if we want to get specific about some of the things that you're referring to or that you're remembering.
No, it's okay.
Okay.
Well, we'll talk about the current conspiracy.
Yeah, because we're still afraid of the people that did it to us that time. Go ahead.
It would be hard, Emmanuel, to get more vague.
It would be hard to get more vague, but we also, you know, we don't need any more trouble. We don't. Well, let's just say that when you have people sitting on lots of bandwidth, and that have control over many, many machines, communications networks, and you know, lots of times they're people we know, people that that we hang out with. A lot of damage can be done. A lot of revenge can be sought. In fact, sometimes we see these wars waged on IRC where you think it's just a bunch of kids, but actually sometimes it's people in their 30s and 40s going around shutting down domains and countries and things like that. It's the nature of the internet, something that we have to accept, I suppose.
Are you telling me, Emmanuel, that ISPs should be engaging in network neutral practices?
Well, it would be nice. It would be nice. I was speaking to more than just you, though. But I'm glad you got the message. We should definitely be encouraging that kind of thing. Anyway, to get to the point, and this is something I'd like to just open up the hour to our listeners mostly because I'm sure they have a lot of stories. It's not just all about us. But basically, right after the show last week, something happened to our connection, not our website. Our website was never affected by this because it's hosted completely differently. But our communications, our way of speaking to each other, email, things like that, that was effectively shut down by just simply having the connection severed. We reported this immediately as soon as it happened. And basically, for the last 7 days, we've just been going back and forth with Verizon, and they keep coming up with different explanations, quote-unquote explanations as to what was happening. Well, some kind of cable cut. All right, now it's a trunk line that's out. Now it's the weekend. We don't do anything on the weekend. Hey, we came to your facility, but you weren't there. We didn't tell you we were coming. And then when we were there, they didn't come when they said they were going to come. Or call or anything like that. And then finally, the last part was, well, there was a problem with the central office. It was, and this is a quote from a tech, it was wired all wrong. The central office was wired all wrong. And it was wired wrong, and because it was wired wrong, it was giving the wrong information. Maybe a telephone tech could tell me if this is true. If a central office is wired wrong, does that mean it's going to tell the techs that there's a cable outage 700 feet out in the street? I mean, that's creative wiring, I think. It's pretty.
I'm sure it's possible. There's some wrong configuration of wiring that could cause it.
Well, I had this guy, and interestingly enough, I was in the Museum of Communications in Seattle when I got this this amazing phone call. It was a perfect place to talk to this guy, I said, really? That's how it, and I think he really didn't want to stay on the phone for much longer because I was asking too many probing questions. And basically just, well, you know, it's not, that's not, I have nothing to do with that. He really wanted to get it over with as quickly as possible. But even that wasn't enough to get the problem fixed until sometime today. I actually had to set foot in the city. As soon as I did that, it's like high noon or something, you know. Hey, Emmanuel's back in town. You better get that connection back. I know I strike fear into people sometimes, but usually, you know, not powerful people. Just, you know, the non-powerful people. Wow, yeah, so a week without service. Now, that's something. And what everyone says is, wow, there's nothing you can do about it. We've gotten so many letters. And by the way, I want to thank everybody for tweeting about this, and Twitter does come in handy for things like this. Everybody from the folks at LulzSec to Will Wheaton, all kinds of people that just stepped in and spread the word around. Millions of people knew about this. I was walking down the street before, and a total stranger came up to me and said, hey, how's the thing with Verizon going? I mean, this is incredible. New York City, you know, you just walk down the street and people are aware of what's going on. That's cool. It's not cool having your connection severed for a week, but it is cool when you can get the word out despite that. Now, I know things have happened to listeners regarding the phone company, regarding Verizon over the years. Bernie, you used to work for Verizon, didn't you?
Well, no, I actually used to work for 9X.
You used to work for 9X. 9X became Bell Atlantic. Bell Atlantic became Verizon. Read your Bible.
Right.
All right. In fact, many of us might have worked for Verizon at some point without realizing it, too. If you work for GTE ever, you work for Verizon, you know, because they merged with them. And I'm not sure who else, but they're huge. They're everywhere. And it's, you know, they got a lot of power. They've got too much power. And we intend to sever all contacts with them because this kind of thing just doesn't fly, and we hope other people do the same. But mostly we want to find out what happened. We want to not forget about this. We want to get answers. But it's very hard to get those kind of answers. You just hit a wall of bureaucracy. So we're open to suggestion. If anyone wants to help us file legal papers, we'll be happy to do that too, because this kind of thing certainly demands some kind of response. A lot was lost. A lot of email was lost. A lot of activity. We've fallen way behind on a bunch of things. Articles that were sent to us, we didn't get them. People have been trying to talk to our ordering department. Can't get through to them either. It's a real distraction, and especially when you're moving around the country doing all kinds of other things, it definitely gets in the way. But we're back now. Just got back today, and it's a lot of catching up to do. But anyway, that's what we've been up to. And we like to take phone calls. Another result of this, we don't have very much material because we couldn't get access to the server. Oh, and that's the other thing I wanted to mention, is that the reason, you might ask Emmanuel, why in God's name would they even care? Well, you know, we know, it's pretty much well known. It's been known since a while, years. That we have somewhat controversial people on our site that communicate securely on our site, because when you're talking from one account to another, when you send an email from one place to another on a machine, it doesn't have to leave the machine, doesn't have to go out to the internet and clear text or anything like that. When you have a chat session going from one person to another, and it's not on IRC or something insecure, it's very hard for the authorities to listen in. We have had people like Adrian Lamo, we have people from LulzSec, yes we do, on our machine, people communicating, and it's secure, and there's no way people can listen in, unless they're really, really good. And with things that have been going on in the news lately, that's a real pain for the authorities. So I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not saying that this is all a result of some kind of a plan to make things difficult, but it definitely isn't right, definitely isn't normal, and something should be done about it. So that's pretty much everything that I have. Now we have another 50 minutes to fill.
I mean, I can talk about other things.
I want to give our phone number out, 212-209-2900, if people have anything else they'd like to add. I know we do have updates regarding the whole LulzSec story and all that. These guys even disbanded to try and help us out. You know, they said, look, guys, if it'll get your account back, we'll just stop this. We'll stop this, and maybe Verizon will forgive us and give. They're such nice people. They really are. And
you know,
sacrificed a life of glory and movies and things like that. They could have had it all, but to get our connection back, they said, "We'll just cave. We won't do this anymore. We know, and we've met our match."
Someone's going to take you seriously one of these days. Isn't a lot of trouble.
It hasn't happened.
Result.
Hasn't happened yet. But no, seriously. One thing I learned from this, Actually, I knew this already, but when it comes down to it, the people that you want to trust, hackers, corporations, I'll go with the hackers, you know? I mean, the things that WellSec has done over the months, the 50 days that they've been around, pales in comparison to the kind of overwhelming power that if you piss off some major corporation, what they can do to you and what they have done. This is just one small example. There are all kinds of things we could get into.
Yeah, I will say, like, you know, just things like what LulzSec did do, you know, in my opinion, I've already seen some benefit of it. Just like looking at a lot of the stories coming across CNN on, you know, the American network, as opposed to the international, you're seeing lots of reporters on there talking about customers actually taking care of their own security. And I've heard mention of things like the companies which have had the data that had been leaked. You know, or broken into, that you know, some of the burden actually falls on them.
You know. That's true. Bernie, you had something.
Is your goal, Emmanuel, to find out what really happened, who was really responsible for this outage?
Well, if I can take the truth, yes, I'm going to try. I'm going to try until it gets so scary that I have to turn away.
Well, I can't imagine that if there were shenanigans behind the scenes, which is entirely possible, that whoever's asked about it, if they're going to actually tell the truth and say they did that. But you could really make some people sweat, but it would have cost some money to file a lawsuit and subpoena people and have them deposed under oath and force them to commit the felony of perjury to deny what they've done. But you know they're going to deny it anyway.
Well, we just need a lawyer to do all this for us, and hopefully
and
somebody will step up.
Unfortunately, the average person can't afford this, and neither can you,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure.
Well, neither can any of us. That's the point. The point is that if this were to happen to Amazon or Yahoo or somebody like that, there certainly would be ramifications. Even if it went out for 15 minutes, it would be headlines everywhere. Small businesses, regular people, this happens to them, and not just because they're controversial. Sometimes, you know, people have said to me, "Emmanuel, this has got nothing to do with the magazine, with the radio show, anything. This is just sheer Verizon incompetence." Well, God help us all if that is something that we are supposed to get used to, because to have something just go out for an entire week, have people expediting trouble tickets and all that, and still not be able to figure it out when the problem is definitely somewhere on their end. This is the phone company. This is what they're supposed to be doing. I could understand it if Mr. Softy or something couldn't figure out where the cable was, but this is Verizon. They should know. Yeah.
If it were the police department, if it was the NYPD's internet connection.
Let's not get them on us, too, all right?
I can imagine it would be fixed a whole lot faster.
Uh-huh.
And the phone company has a lot of really sophisticated test equipment to find out where something is miswired. They have what are called time domain reflectometers that can echo back almost exactly where to see where things just are connected wrong, where they should have been. And all that stuff is back at the central office, and they have portable stuff. They didn't need to make the excuse that they couldn't, you know, they couldn't meet up with you at the building sort of thing, because obviously it was either a, you know, central office issue or an outside plane
well,
issue.
Well, we determined very quickly that the problem was not at our facility. But even so, if you want to walk around yourself and look it over, go right ahead, be our guest. But you got to let us know you're coming in the first place, and you also have to show up when you say you're going to show up, or at least call or something like that. And they did none of that. So that just tells me they weren't really all that interested in it. Voltaire, you're here. Welcome. Trouble with the MTA?
Hello.
Well, it's okay. It's been a crazy week. Been a crazy week, but it's over now. All right, 212-209-2900 is our telephone number. Mike, you have some updates on other stories?
Well, something really shocking happened this week, and that is that the Supreme Court issued a sane decision. There was a law in California that said that you may not sell certain video games to people under the age of 18, and the Supreme Court said that that law is unconstitutional, and among the reasons they gave are such crazy ideas that video games are a form of speech and are thus protected by the First Amendment. And they also said that parents do not have the right to control everything their children see. And it's just, you know, there's nothing in this really that I read the decision. There was almost nothing I disagreed with, which is highly unusual.
That's highly unusual for almost anything, actually, not just the Supreme Court.
But, especially the Supreme Court,
that's,
though.
I guess, can we say it's good news, then? Can we do that?
If you like video games, especially good news.
Yeah, I suppose. All right, well, that's something. That's pretty cool. Anything else?
No? Scalia wrote it, too.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to take a look at some listener mail. This actually is from last week. I haven't had a chance to get online because of all the chaos. So we'll have some more catching up to do. And then let's take some phone calls. I want to hear other people's problems with Verizon. I think it's fair that we open up the phones to our listeners to see if what we have is something unusual. Maybe it's just run-of-the-mill. Maybe it's something that affects a lot of people. Hey, guys, I was listening to the show this morning. Couldn't help but laugh. And Emmanuel mentioned that he was getting random emails from people thinking that they own his Gmail address just because they share the first initial and last name. I have that same problem. In fact, I got a few emails from Travelocity giving me some lady's itinerary for a trip to Florida. Then several minutes later, I got another email giving me her username and password. If I was a real jerk, I guess I could have canceled her trip. Boy, that would have been messed up. Sergio, thank you for not doing that. And that's thanks for sharing that with us. Yeah, be careful what you use as your Gmail address. It might not actually be yours. You might just think that it's yours.
I wonder if he got her e-tickets, too.
You know, there's all kinds of things you can get if you just give out an email address.
Maybe if the TSA people weren't paying enough attention, you could just go on the flight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true, too. Let's see what else. Why does everyone keep saying Emmanuel is the one who said 1 in 4 hackers are informants? I could have sworn he just reported that someone else said that when I listened to this show. And that's true. You know, that became fact when The Guardian reported that story. And it was something that we quoted on a panel last July at the Next Hope conference. So it's kind of strange. Walter?
I thought it was from a special Guardian investigation.
It was a special Guardian investigation? I don't know.
And they say they confirmed it.
I did say it, but I was simply reiterating what was already said. I didn't come up with a phrase. All right, you know what? Let's take some phone calls. It's very hard to balance a Mac on this console. It keeps threatening to fall on the ground, and I don't want that on top of everything else we've been through this week. All right, 212-209-2900. Let's see what Verizon issues other people have. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Hello.
Hi, what's up?
I came in yesterday afternoon, a lovely day outside. I opened the mail. I got out of the mailbox. I got a nice thing from Verizon, and it raised my bill about $21, right? And I got a special, supposedly closed deal that they sent and offered me this thing where I get the DSL online, and I get the unlimited phone calls all over the continental United States, including Alaska. So I've already received two bills at maybe $66, I think, at 90-something cents. I have paid them on time. Everything was cool. But this bill comes. It's inexplicably $80-something dollars. Now, they said this was a simple thing. It was going to be a simple consistency all the way through. I mean, there was not going to be anything raised. It was just going to be a one cost for this service, and they locked me in for 2 years. I agree. Now, all of a sudden, everything, you know, it's like I suddenly going from Verizon to Cheerio and Dunkin'. We got this yo-yo thing going.
Mm-hmm.
And it's ridiculous. And I haven't called them yet because I'm so pissed off. I got to calm down so I can make sense out of it. I've looked over my bills. There seems to be no reason. And the worst part about this, I haven't even used the service. I've had this thing for 2 months. I haven't even used the the internet thing or anything. I haven't even called anybody, really. And all of a sudden, I'm charged $20-something. I think they got something going. I don't know what's the problem with them.
Two things. Firstly, I mean, obviously, you should call them and find out what the situation is. But if you signed a contract or something with a certain rate and they change it, basically, they're not. You know, you can tell them that this has adversely affected you, which it sounds like it has, and they can't hold you to the contract if they change the rate. So. I would definitely communicate with them. And the same is true with cell phone companies. If they change certain rates, you can get out of your contract because they've changed something. And all you have to do is claim that it adversely affected you.
All right. I appreciate that. I just needed somebody. It just freaked me out completely.
One thing I think is important also to point out, and this is something that we've held to throughout this whole crisis of ours, the people you speak to on the phone, they're not the ones who did it. And you just sort of have to, it's really hard. That's why TVs were invented, so you could yell at them. But when you get the people on the actual phone, I think you get a lot further if you're clear, polite, somewhat whimsical as far as telling your story. Get them on your side. And when you get somebody in the corporation on your side, there's a lot more you can find out.
That's why I didn't call him right away. You see how I am right now.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
freaked out. Now, I know I got to calm down. I know I got to be more circumspect about this. Yeah. But I appreciate your help anyway.
All right. Well,
I
thanks.
Just want to tell you something because when it came, and I said, mm-hmm. perfect. My boys are in there. I'll tell them.
All right.
You take it easy now. Good luck in your thing, too.
Thanks. Thanks very much. I'm sure there are a lot of stories like this out there. 212-209-2900. What has Verizon done to you today? We'd like to know. it's really something. Of course, you know, other phone companies too. I'm sure do all kinds of crazy things. Bernie, I know you have stories of all kinds of phone companies.
I think that most of them suck to varying degrees, but some suck more than others. And I think Verizon is among the worst.
You know what's really funny? We're not a Verizon customer. That's people say, why don't you just switch? Here's the thing: we're customers of a company called Hurricane Electric. They provide DSL SDSL service. And they, in turn, get service from a company called Megapath, which interacts with Verizon. So already you're dealing with three different companies, but it always comes down to Verizon in the end doing something in the street, cutting a cable or miswiring something. And just and these poor people from these other companies are on the phone on hold for an hour and a half with Verizon waiting to get answers. And they're as frustrated as we are, and that is the way the whole system is set up.
Well, that's what happens when one group controls the infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. And people think there's competition. There really isn't. They really try getting an SDSL or a T1 line without using Verizon somewhere along the way, or without having them be able to mess things up for you.
There are a few wireless services in big cities, but you need line of sight to certain tall buildings, mm-hmm. and sometimes you can get. Business grade service over the cable, but it's not always possible.
Didn't we use a company called Rainbow a couple of years ago for one of the Hope conferences?
Yeah, maybe more than one even.
Okay,
and there's no Verizon involvement with them. Which
and that's just wireless. That's yeah. just you point to a building or something like
yeah.
that, and you get
you have a thing, and you point it at their antenna, and mm-hmm. magic happens.
And Verizon tries to like block the signal by throwing things in the way, but they really can't do it effectively.
They could release a storm of pigeons or
Look
something.
At this. Look at that switchboard. That's a full switchboard. A lot of angry Verizon customers out there. All right, let's get to them. 212-209-2900. Good evening. You're on the air. Speak
Hi,
up.
Hello?
Go ahead. You got to speak up, though. That's the deal.
Hi.
Hello?
Hello?
Are you speaking on a Verizon phone? Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much for taking my call.
No problem.
Okay, I'll be as quick as possible.
Okay.
My Verizon contract is going to expire on August 3rd. I feel like having a celebration or something, but I want from you guys to suggest anything after that when I get out of them. I just want a simple phone. I don't care about internet on the phone. I don't care about any of that stuff. I know I see all this.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck not getting internet, not getting a camera, not getting all these bells and whistles on your damn phone. It's almost impossible to get just a phone service now. Get a landline, you know, and a long cord.
I have a suggestion.
Go ahead, Bernie. Bernie has a suggestion for you.
So you're saying, caller, thanks for calling in. You say you have Verizon wireless service now, but your contract is up soon?
Yeah, in August 3rd.
Okay, you don't have to renew your contract. You can just keep the phone. You can just keep the phone you have and continue with them on a month-to-month basis. Or do you want to just get rid of Verizon altogether?
Well, I want to lower my bill, and I see all these other companies out there.
Bernie, he wants to get rid of Verizon altogether. Everybody calling in, everybody I've seen today wants to get rid of Verizon altogether. That's a given.
Yes.
Well, that's right. The next worst thing to being on a Verizon contract is to being a Verizon customer on a month-to-month basis. But at least you're not locked into them for the next few years if you stay with them until you decide what you want to do. So you don't have to jump ship immediately.
Right.
Take your time, do your research. There are a lot of wireless phone companies out there, but you need to find out for sure whether their service works well where you need to use it.
And what you can do, especially if you're not looking to get a smartphone, because a lot of the hooks in terms of getting you to sign another contract is that the cell phone provider subsidizes your smartphones. You know, they give it to you for $100 when retail it would cost $600 or something. But since you're not looking for that kind of phone, you could just go and buy a phone retail. I don't think that plain old telephones are that expensive. Or you could find, you know, I mean, you could go, there are lots of places to get phones, right? Online, et cetera. And once you have a phone and you go to a cell phone provider, provided that, you know, the phone works with their network, then, you know, you can just sign up for a month-to-month month-to-month plan with them. It doesn't have to be Verizon. It could be anybody. Also, you could go to the carrier store and ask them, you know, I don't want to sign a contract. I just want a simple phone. What do you have? And I'm sure they'll have it. Again, the phone will probably cost more money than it would if you got it without a contract. But if it's not a smartphone, it's not going to be that expensive.
There are
a used phone on eBay. You can buy a used phone that'll work with any network.
Right. Well, it has to work. I mean, there are different technologies.
But I mean, it
different
won't work on all the networks.
Right.
You can find a phone that was on, you know,
Network
Sprint
X
or
yeah.
whatever, and just buy it used for very cheap on eBay, and just use that without having to pay a huge price.
Right.
But what if I want to keep the number that I have, though I switch to another company?
If you go to a different company, don't cancel your Verizon account. What you want to do is you want to go to the other phone company first. Tell them that you have a number that you want to port to them, and then they'll initiate it. And at that point, you know, if it's after your Verizon contract has expired, what will happen is that the new phone company will set up your number and cancel your Verizon thing. So Verizon, that will automatically happen. But do not cancel your service with Verizon first. Go to the other phone company first. Tell them you want to port the number, and it's very simple from there.
Okay, we do have other customers on the line. We do have to get to them in the order that they called us.
Just trying to help.
So let's – well, you're doing more than they would do. That's for damn sure. Thanks for that call. Good luck with all your problems. Let me just ask, since this has come up, does anyone in the room have Verizon as a carrier? All right, because
I do.
Sorry, Mike. You're going to have to leave. We're making it a rule that people who listen to the show have to cut Verizon from their lives. All right, it's for your own good. It's going to be hard. We'll be there with you. We'll hold your hand in the room while you get cut off from them and all that kind of thing. But it's going to have to happen.
This includes Verizon Wireless,
of
which
course.
Is what I have.
Anything with the word Verizon in it.
Because Verizon Wireless is only half owned by Verizon.
That
it's
doesn't
very confusing.
Matter. Then you know, call it something else. Wireless. You know, using that word, what's the other half that owns them?
Vodafone.
Vodafone Wireless. Nothing says Vodafone in this country, right? Vodafone is Dutch, right, Bicycle?
I am a Vodafone customer. It's all over Europe.
See, it rolls off the tongue. It's so nice. Vodafone.
I was going to mention the other strategy you can take. It's a bit more extreme, but I did it years ago. I never told you guys why I left the United States, but if you leave the country... No Verizon.
It actually depends.
That's why you left the United States, because of Verizon? Really?
It actually depends on the company now. Certain companies' policies are that they won't can't. I know that, for example, T-Mobile, if you have a contract with them, they will only let you out of it if you move out of the country if you're in the military and if you're
or if
deployed.
You're dead, if you die, and someone calls and says, "By the way, this person is no longer alive." That's one way to do it.
They may ask for proof.
Yeah. I do want to, Dot Red has something. I do want to get to the calls. And, you know, callers, you're calling in now and you're getting disconnected after ringing for about 20 times. You know who's doing that to you? Verizon. Verizon is disconnecting you after 20 years. Just so that the hate boils up in your
WBAI
blood.
Does WBAI have Verizon?
We don't know. We have something else. But Verizon,
Verizon
routes to us and they're the ones cutting off. Yeah.
All right. So T-Mobile's policy is that they won't, let someone out if they move out of the country. But what about AT&T's policy?
No, I don't know about – I just happen to know for a fact that T-Mobile's policy
Because T-Mobile is going away.
Yeah, AT&T is going to buy T-Mobile or something like that.
Yeah. They'll probably follow up with the same thing. But, again, there are other ways to get out of contracts ahead of time. If they change your rates, even if they change – you know, there's little fees on there that are like so-and-so, this tax, that tax.
Right.
They're not actually – what it is the phone company passing the tax on to you. So technically, they're setting that rate, and if they change it, you can get out of your contract.
I've heard that if you don't get service in your place of residence, if they don't cover your place of residence, that's reason to get out of the contract.
I guess that's generally the reasoning for if you move out of the country, right? Because they can't provide you service anymore. So I don't know if the T-Mobile policy has ever been tested. You know, I haven't had any reason to get rid of them. But
so which are the non-sucky phone companies? We've talked a lot about how to get rid of a phone company, but unless you wish to live without telephony, which is looking like a better and better option, you'll have to just sign up with another company, which is the non-sucky one.
The noise of crickets.
Yeah, I remember the good old days of Ma Bell, but of course, I guess that's technically Verizon now anyway. So.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. I don't have a time machine.
No.
I have, a little bit of money that I can spend.
But if you did have a time machine, it would sound so much better. And I just wanted to say again, every school kid in the world should go to the Museum of Communications in Seattle, because you have old step systems and panel switches and crossbars and things like that. And you can actually use them and talk on the phone. And you realize how clear it all was and how it actually worked. And, wow, what a system that was and how bad it sounds today.
What if we just make our own network of strings and tin can?
You might be better off.
We'll be doing that this summer, in August.
Yes, you want to tell us something about that?
Well, this summer it's coming around again, the CCC camp in just outside of Berlin, and we will have our own GSM network. I say we, I actually have nothing to do with it. But if they ever needed me to push buttons, I'd go there.
Well, at HAR, there were two phone networks. There was a GSM network and there was a DEC phone system. Two different phone networks in the same hacker camp.
Or are they just going to have the GSM one?
Both will continue. I'm pretty sure the supporters wouldn't let them go away.
Okay, we have so many calls.
All the people with deck phones.
Yeah, we have so many calls. We really should get to these people who are very angry and want to tell their story. So let's get through as many as we can. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Yeah, my email is out on Yahoo, and also...
You're a regular call to every single call-in show that exists on this station for the last 30 years, so I'm sure your email address can get out somewhere else. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Hi. I think you'll be interested that I'm 85 years old, and Verizon gave me a story you had only in 3 weeks. It took them 3 weeks to fix what they kept saying was the cable.
I got to tell you, I don't think they fixed it. Listen to that noise. Wow.
But the best thing of all...
That's amazing.
We want to hear something really great.
Well, that's the sound of Verizon, just for people who don't believe us.
I called them to tell them I'm not going to pay the bill. They said, oh, well, you have to pay the bill. I said, well, I'm not going to. So after several discussions with the supervisor, they said, okay, we'll waive the bill for this month.
Yeah, but then they'll be back next month with their hands out, you know? We have to find alternatives and hold them accountable and things like that. One thing people can do, obviously, is threaten to go to their state's Public Utilities Commission, Public Service Commission, whatever it happens to be called, and expedite it as much as possible. We're certainly going down that road. But it does result in something. It doesn't solve the problem. It doesn't keep it from happening again. But if everybody did that, every time there was some kind of a problem that could have been avoided, I think they'd be held accountable a lot more, and I think companies should be held accountable when they're serving the public. This is a perfect example of how you need regulation of certain things like this.
This is an industry, right, where there's no real alternatives in general. I mean, they have a monopoly because they have the infrastructure. You don't you can get service through other companies, but it's all traveling through the same infrastructure. So, I mean, it's good that it's regulated, but you know, how far does that go?
All right, 212-209-2900. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook. Speak up.
Hello.
Yes, what's on your mind?
Can I ask a quick question on the subject?
Please, go ahead.
Yes, how much is the grace period on the MetroCard transfer? Above 2 hours.
You're asking us about a MetroCard? What's it? What do you need to know?
MetroCard transfer. How much is the grace period?
What's the grace period of a MetroCard?
Yeah, above 2 hours.
I think it's about 2 hours and 15 minutes.
15?
2 hours and 15 minutes.
Right, thanks a lot.
All right, hurry up.
But it varies. The timekeeping isn't accurate to the minutes.
He's out the door. Let's hope he makes it. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook. Hopefully sticking to the topic. Good evening.
Not actually Verizon, but it is a similar problem that I've been having with Vonage, voice over IP provider.
Okay.
The problem that I've been experiencing over the past 4 weeks is my outgoing calls, they can't hear me, but I can't hear the incoming feedback audio, but the outgoing audio does work fine. Incoming calls are perfect, and I've been working with them for 4 weeks. Every time I talk to somebody, they hang up on me. They come up with some excuse to get me off the phone saying they'll call me back and never do. They've escalated IT tickets. The IT tickets, they acknowledge that they're getting my responses by email, but they're not doing anything with. So it's basically the same thing. They know that they're...
You're not an unpopular person, right? Because everything you said points to someone who people are just trying to avoid.
Yeah, I think it's just a little too much of a technical problem on their end that they can't figure out how to take care of, and they're trying to avoid the situation because of it.
You think? I don't use Vonage. I did many years ago, but maybe other people have had similar instances. Mike?
Are you calling us on the Vonage now?
No, I'm actually on a cell phone.
Ah, all right. That explains why it sounds terrible, I
no,
guess.
I think that might be a bad line on our system.
Oh, we have a bad line. It's true. This cable, if I touch it, the lights...
That noise? I blame that on Verizon. See, I'm willing to say when I'm wrong. I think maybe this isn't Verizon now, if he's calling on something else.
I think it's the cable going in.
It could be the cable going in. All right. Don't touch that cable, Mike.
I didn't touch it. All right. I just waved my hand
near
it.
Don't do that either, for God's sake. So what do we have to advise this caller to do? Nothing?
I mean, if the service isn't working and they refuse to fix it, there's not a whole lot of options other than replace the service.
Is that right?
Threaten yeah. to leave them. I mean, that generally seems to get people to start paying attention. I'm paying for service which is not being provided. You know.
Well, set up an alternative so that you know exactly what you're going to do if they continue to be non-responsive.
Find the relevant regulators and threaten to go to them, like you said.
Right. See, in our case, it's a little bit more difficult because of all the different things, different companies involved. As far as getting service in the first place, you can't just leave. Even if you're not a customer of Verizon, you have to use Verizon sometimes. So that's the problem that we're trying to deal with.
I also don't think that this falls under any kind of regulation because it's not a public utility.
Uh-huh.
So,
and that's a problem with cell phones. Cell phones not being regulated the same way that landlines are. So a lot more can be gotten away with, and VoIP companies too. There are problems.
And none of this is a coincidence. It's the result of heavy lobbying efforts by these large companies. They promise that with less regulation, there'll be more freedom of choice, more competition, and service will get better. And, well, it's not working.
Yeah, this is definitely an indication of this. Look at this switchboard. Completely full. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook. Speak
Hi
up.
There.
Yes, go ahead.
Hey, it's Patty. How you doing?
Hey, haven't heard your voice in a very long time.
I know, a long time. Hey, I got the Verizon question here. I'm talking about landline and DSL. You know, you always look on the, you get an advertisement or something comes, and it's like half the price as a good customer of 20 years is paying. Is there any way to get that cheap price?
Change your name or do you have a trick, Mike?
Well, sometimes if you call them and say, you sent me this offer, I want to take advantage of it, it doesn't always work, but sometimes it works.
If they send you the damn offer, you know, you should definitely throw that in their face. I mean, I keep getting offers for Fios to the home, and whenever I ask about it, they say, well, it's not available in your area yet. So why are they sending me advertisements for it to the address where it's not available? They continue doing this. If nothing else, it's a waste of paper.
There's another way to do this.
Go ahead, Bernie.
There's a way to do this, Patty.
Yeah.
You can find a competitive local exchange carrier, a so-called CLEC, like another wireline phone company, and you can dump Verizon and move over to the other company. Just make sure you don't sign a contract with them. Just say you want to make sure that it works before you sign any contract, and then you can go back to Verizon and get the deal.
Uh-huh.
And then they are required, the FCC is, in one of their better moves, has required number portability. So you can take your phone number from Verizon, who is the local exchange carrier, to a competitive local exchange carrier. There's probably several in Manhattan.
But I would try calling Verizon first because that's definitely the easier route.
Sure.
And it's a great way to spend a day, too, on hold with Verizon.
I mean, it's funny, you're a good customer for 20 years. Do you get the deal? No, somebody else. And the other thing is that they want you to call them to, you know, I remember I was paying like $30 more than I am now, and I called them and I said, hey, what's going on? Why don't you tell me these things? They said, well, you're supposed to call. It's like, who wants all people calling all the time? It's like, it's the opposite of you think. They don't want to hear from people. But here, Verizon wants you to call them to get a better deal or not.
All right, listen, we're going to move on, but great hearing from you again, Patty.
Thank you.
All
Bye.
Right, take care.
Bye.
Let's move over here. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook. Speak up.
Hi, Emmanuel. This is New Line, and I disagree that you're paranoid. In fact, I think that you're much too trusting if you don't think somebody spent the week putting monitoring devices on those lines.
Well, thanks for that. I'm not sure how I feel, but okay.
If that's the case, it doesn't speak very highly of them that it takes them a whole week to put monitoring devices.
Well, it's
just a computer these days. They should be able to flip a bit, do it instantly.
I mean, we can assume it might have been under some kind of court order, and then there were the legal machinations and whatnot.
Yeah.
And, just as a matter of record, any other phone company would have sold you down the river just as fast.
This is the kind of thing that happens when there is no court order, when someone wants to do something despite the fact that it's not legal and they have the access. What if I trip over this wire? Well, they're going to be disconnected, and they're not going to be able to figure this out for a week. People do things like this. It does happen. And maybe it's not a corporate policy. Probably isn't a corporate policy. It could be some rogue element within. Whatever it is, it's not normal. It's not right. It needs to be challenged. Needs to be fixed.
And that needs to be planned for it. So any more emails that I send to you guys are going to be good old GPG certified.
Okay. Well, that sounds good to me. Thanks. 212-209-2900. And again, if you have sent mail to anybody at 2600.com, including OTH at 2600.com over the last week, please send it again. We probably haven't gotten it because Verizon cut us for an entire week. Yeah, what an amazing time that was. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Hey, I'm Emmanuel.
Yes, go ahead.
Kathy from Westchester.
Hi.
I had a big problem with Verizon. First of all, you know, to get through to them is crazy, mm-hmm. right? For a month, I had problems with my phone and my internet. The only thing that finally got them to come and really fix it was my brother works for a big soda company, wrote him a letter and mentioned shareholders, and I had five guys at my house and it was fixed in a day.
Wow.
And that's what they listen to.
That's okay. Well, you know, we'll mention that we have Club Mate and we import. No, I don't think they're going to care.
Right.
All right, thanks. Thanks for the advice. And good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, regarding calling WBAI first off,
mm-hmm.
I'm calling long distance, and I probably paid a dollar at least, because when Verizon cuts you off at 20 rings, they charge you as if it was a completed call.
They charge you? That's,
yes, and I've actually taken this to the Public Service Commission, and the Public Service Commission says they're legitimate in doing it.
I don't believe. The Public Service Commission in New York said this?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I couldn't believe it. I have the documentation on paper from the Public Service Commission, because I've got these lines when I try to call WBAI and I get cut off after 20 minutes.
And you're sure that no one has picked up?
No. It's when you get the fast busy, when you get timed out after 20 rings. And I get like a whole row of one-minute charges on my bill to 209-2900.
You should hang up after 15 rings.
Now, the funny, I think I've done that, and it actually still charges. Well, if it completes to the ring, the Public Service Commission said to me, then they have the right to charge, even if you hang up, if it's a long-distance charge.
Bernie, didn't Sprint used to do that a long time ago?
Yes, they were doing that as soon as, and I don't know if the other wireless carriers were, but I know Sprint for many years ago, they started saying the call is completed when you hear the ring back.
Right. Now, let me tell you what happened to me this week, because this is why I was originally calling. I had to set up a new phone line for a business. So I called up Verizon, and I set up the appointment for after July 4th, because I'm lying here with a broken leg. And then the next day, the phone rings, and it's an automated recording from Verizon saying that according to FCC rules that we have to verify your order to make sure that the lineman can come out to your house and complete your order. So please stay on the line for an operator. So then it transfers me. I get a ring, and then the ring says, I'm sorry, due to volume, we cannot answer your call now, and it hangs up on me.
Wow.
And it gives and I'm lying here with a broken leg, and I'm supposed to take down a telephone number to call, to get when it was all confirmed before. So I think the whole company is going mashugana.
Yeah, I think you've presented enough evidence to prove that in court. But thanks, thanks for the info. Wow, let's see if we can take some more calls, Mike.
I think to say they are going crazy maybe gives them more credit than they might deserve.
I cannot believe how many calls we're getting. This is unbelievable. This is what we should talk about every week. Really, thank you, Verizon, for inspiring us to talk about this, because apparently there's a lot of emotion out there. I don't know. What do you think is going to happen to our line after tonight's show if we were cut off for a week after last week's show? We'll just have to find out. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Right. Verizon stories. I've been waiting for this for so long. I have, years of Verizon stories that we could make a comedy show out of if it wasn't so frustrating.
Okay. Well, tell us just the most recent year, and we'll go with that.
I had a Verizon cell phone, my very first one, and I signed the contract. After the contract was done, I mean, it had been done like 6 months, and I called to cancel the service, and they were, they were rude. I mean, the girl was like threatening, and I was very nice and appropriate with her, and I said, I want to cancel the service.
What was she threatening exactly?
Well, you can't do that. You can't, this kind of, very rude and, uh-huh. And I said, I can do that. My contract is over. It's been over for 6 months. I know exactly when I signed it. I have paperwork. And I had to talk to, like, literally, I had to keep getting a supervisor on the phone. They wouldn't put a supervisor on the phone. Other times, like, I mean, you don't have your service for 3 weeks. I was out home service for, like, 3 months because Verizon owned the lines.
Mm-hmm.
And the phone company that I was with at the time couldn't get Verizon to fix the lines. Because, I mean, that's what they told me anyway. But I had never experienced that with that phone company. They were excellent. I've never seen the kind of things that I've seen with Verizon. I think they're on crack. It's frustrating.
Yeah, it is very frustrating, I know. But the thing is, when you get a customer service rep that says all kinds of crazy things, either stay on for entertainment's sake or just come up with an excuse saying, oh, the dog just crashed through the window and I got to deal with that, I'll call back, and call back, get somebody else, just reset the machine, and I'm sure it won't go the same way. Because, yeah, there are a lot of weird people out there that they don't play by the rules.
I've never seen the if they call that customer service, I don't know. I've never seen the kind of talk or attitude or just horrendous customer service that have seen with Verizon.
Then don't call 1-800-VERIZON because that way you'll avoid having any more further pain with them. But thanks for that escapade. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Yes, I had spoken earlier about the Verizon, about the Vonage issue.
We have 1,000 people on the line, but make it quick.
Yeah, I was just given an update that I did actually threaten Attorney General complaint as well as also FCC complaint, and they completely ignored that.
Mm-hmm.
And I am just an average customer with actually a little less than average usage. So.
They may ignore it to you, but if you get the Attorney General to actually write a letter, then they won't ignore that. And if that doesn't work, write letters to newspapers, do what you're doing now, call radio shows. The word will get out, and if nothing else, you'll get somebody else to do something. Maybe that'll go through. But thanks for your call, Mike.
And getting the Attorney General's office to write a letter is not actually as hard as it sounds.
No, it's not. It really isn't. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
A gay marriage.
Thank you. Thank you, Monroe. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook. All right. That's nice, too. It's slight improvement over Monroe, but good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Hey, how's it going? I just have something really quick to add. Probably not as bad as something that some of your callers have experienced. But, you know, when I finally realized, okay, I need to have email access on my cell phone, you know, I travel a lot and I couldn't miss so many emails. Then I brought my phone in, my new phone, and I thought, okay, this does the trick. And the representative in the store just kind of chuckled and just said, you know, this is a phone. This is one of the series of phones that's made just to compel you to buy a smartphone.
Uh-huh.
I said, oh, well, thanks for that, because it's just a real pain in the neck. It's a very, you know, dysfunctional sort of pain in the neck sort of little gadget.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I wanted to say, that there's a whole series of phones out there that's just made to frustrate you, to force you to buy a smartphone.
All right. Thanks for that pearl of wisdom there. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Hey, good evening. I actually had a problem with Verizon a few years ago. New York State actually had a web link. They can go ahead and complain about telcos and utilities, and actually it was effective.
Okay. Do you have that website?
Like I said, it was a couple years ago, but I'm sure if Google by now could find it. But the short story of it, since you're running out of time, is I actually had a Verizon truck come onto my property, access a pole to go ahead and do some work, and they just tore up the property. The tires never asked for access or anything else.
Oh, dear.
So I went to call a complaint to via the web link I found in New York State, and I have to go ahead and look for it. Maybe I'll post on it in the chat or send it to you as an email.
Yeah, send it
to
us.
Within a few months, I actually got contacted by somebody with a very high-looking title in Verizon, apologizing for what happened, saying that it was actually a contractor that did it, and the one guy was a contractor and a telephone a Verizon employee. So I told him I want the Verizon employee to get a letter in his jacket, and he did. But then again, he was retiring within the month. But they actually, within a couple of times, I had somebody come over and actually repair my yard. Mind you, all they did was put like straw and everything else, but that part of the lawn grew better than the rest of it.
And it's a thought that counts. they actually listen to you. But that's something that shows that you can get through if you reach the right people and are persistent. Thanks for that. That's inspirational. Bicycle Mark, I wanted to ask you something because you live in the Netherlands. And I have this conversation a number of times with people in regards to organizing conferences and things like that. You guys over in Europe, when you organize a conference, you work with the phone companies. The phone companies donate bandwidth to you. You actually come out of there with all kinds of interesting advancements and collaborative efforts. In this country, that is seen as a virtual impossibility. Is there any advice you can offer us as to how we can bridge this gap and start changing the playing field a little bit? Because, you know, we've spent the hour trashing Verizon. I know that's probably not going to do much for our relations with them in the past, but I think that's pretty much a ship that sailed. But I would sure like to see a world where we can work together and do really cool things.
I mean, in some countries in Europe, and most of them, as a matter of fact, companies such as phone companies are required to do good deeds, like as a percentage of, for example, I think, using their income and so on. It's kind of required. So this may qualify doing events, perhaps non-for-profit events. So collaborating in that sense, that may be a reason. I don't know if Verizon has any such requirement. I doubt it.
There are other companies.
They do their philanthropy, I guess, but here and there.
There are a number of companies that could do something like this.
Yeah.
But it's the mindset here that seems to have an us versus them mentality. And I know, yeah, after an hour like this, I could be the leading culprit in that particular game. But I do think that we need to work together more.
Well, the last thing I'll mention and the other thing that I was thinking about is I help organize other events, non-hacker-related events mm-hmm. in the Netherlands. And what I notice is that we have people, our events that are 10 years old or whatever, we have people that grew up with us, didn't used to work for these companies, and then do, mm-hmm. and don't forget where they came from,
yes.
don't forget us, open lines of communication. And they, like you said, if you know somebody from within. So the interesting thing is we haven't heard from anybody that works for Verizon. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of telling.
Well, that might be an interesting a cultural thing where people wind up working for a company over there and they don't forget their roots. Here, they do forget their roots. They're told to sever ties, to stop the whatever practices they were doing in the past, and maybe they'd be accepted. So that could be a part of it.
Well, and particularly in Holland and in some other countries as well, the internet infrastructure has traditionally been owned by hackers, which is a big difference.
And owned in the good way,
yeah,
not
yeah.
owned we own you, dude.
Perhaps property is theft, but in the traditional way anyhow.
You know, I just realized I actually had a story as well, which has to do with this week. Calling some Verizon customers, mm-hmm. I've been noticing strange crackling over the noise of people that live in a certain area in New York. Whereas I don't seem to have this problem with anyone else. I remember I was talking with someone about this actually today. And
crackling, really?
Yes.
You're going to equate crackling outage for a week?
But
okay, go ahead.
Continues.
Ahead,
but anyway,
crackling
I used to live off of one of the train lines that was connected to JFK and lots of travelers would come through. I've actually had people from South America and people from other places that Americans consider developing nations randomly talk to me about how bad the phone network is here, and actually had to complain to random strangers about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, wow, this is actually very interesting. I was talking about those people earlier today.
Actually, is there any part of the infrastructure people will come up to you and start complaining about? I've noticed that as well.
I've had people waving, brick phones that they had bought to use while they're in the country, saying the phone system's horrible, and
and we've had people waving bricks at the Verizon
yeah.
buildings lately, too. All right, well, we're almost out of time. So any closing comments or remarks? Bernie, anything, any advice from you down in Philadelphia?
Well, you have a lot of choices besides Verizon, so do your research. That's all I suggest.
Okay.
Yes.
We have 2,600 meetings going on this. Jim, give me that magazine there. Jim brought in a particular announcement of the Hackposium taking place on Saturday. 4 p.m. On July 2nd, and the Hackposium is at the Flux Factory, 3931 29th Street between 39th and 40th Avenues. And that sounds kind of confusing, I know. Let's try that one more time. 3931 29th Street between 39th and 40th Avenue in Long Island City, Queens. And if you can get there, that's you are a hacker. You figured it out already.
Is that an address or the encryption key for decoding an address?
I don't know, but that's go to fluxfactory.org and find out more about this. But it's taking place this Saturday at 4 p.m. It's free. And also, in addition, on Friday, we have the 2600 meetings happening all over the world, and that's something to look forward to. Bicycle Mark.
And since I'll be speaking there in the beginning of August, tickets for the Chaos Communication Camp 2011 are already on pre-sale or sale, whatever you call it. Go to events.ccc.de.
And for the record, it's Chaos Communication Camp, not Chaos Communications Camp.
I like plural communication.
There's no S in it. it. And that's true of the Congress as well. It's singular communication. So just so you don't wind up at the wrong camp.
I still get to speak there.
Yes, and it's well worth seeing that. I've seen that spectacle many times. Thanks. Thanks, everybody, for being here. And write to us, oth@2600.com. If we haven't upset Verizon too much, you might actually get through to us. We'll see you next week.
Guys are off the hook. I tell you, they are off the hook. Beautiful, beautiful in New York City tonight. Beautiful. It is now 8 o'clock here at WBAI New York 99.5 FM. And you know what that means? Being the 29th of June, it is actually time for the personal computer shoe. That's right. So let's get started with the shoe. Take it away, Hank.
Good evening. This is Hank Key, and I'm in the studio of WBAI in New York, and I have in the studio with me David Perry and Stevie DB. And normally we would say that David Perry's on the left coast, but he's in the studio
he's
with
here.
Me. He is here.
Well, I'm on the left coast of Manhattan. Well, you're on my left.
Well, hey, listen, before we start the show, I saw something on YouTube. I have to talk about it, all right? Someone sent me a segment on YouTube, and there's this fella, a tall guy, relatively tall guy, in Central Park playing the drums or the bongo drums, and he had a pretty girl next to him also playing, what do you call that?
Does it matter?
Wait. Stevie, do you know who that person was?
It sounds familiar. It sounds like it was a handsome guy sitting next to a
Stevie?
Beautiful blonde.
Stevie? Who was that person?
Oh, that was someone who I met in Central Park. Beautiful, beautiful young woman.
Yes, you
were. Were you actually playing bongos?
No, I wasn't. That's Hank. I was playing the djembe drum.
Right, djembe.
You call it djembe? I call it bongo drums.
Yeah, of course you do.
Huh? What's the difference anyway?
Come on now. There's a big difference between a bongo and a djembe.
Have you gotten into those boxes?
They're not as good as the djembe.
Right, that's true. Djembe is more expressive.
I'm waiting for the app where you can play the djembe on the computer, right, Michael Horowitz?
Well, hey, listen, David, you came straight up from Washington, D.C., right?
That's right.
And you had a White House meeting?
That's true. Now, I want to make sure to tell you this, that when you go to the White House, you don't go to the thing that you think of looks like the White House. You go to the executive office.
Wait a minute.
Right.
You're dressed in this like a Hawaiian shirt. You walked in like that? You didn't have a suit on?
No, I wore a suit.
You had a suit on, of course.
You look at my Facebook page. Hank, get with Facebook. You'd be all up on this.
You mean to say that you were dressed up like a penguin?
I was dressed up in a blue wool suit with a red tie. No, a yellow tie.
I can't imagine you in a suit.
That's a power tie.
I own a dozen or so suits. You know, I'm a magician.
Oh, that's true.
I wear tuxedos. I'm a serious clothes horse. Well, I know more. I own more clothes than any other two people that you know.
In terms of quantity, in terms of the breadth of material,
handmade suits in silk and wool and silk and wool and linen. I'm down with dressing up, guys.
Yeah, but you go to Hong Kong and get that stuff made.
I do. Yeah. And you know what? They're great.
I know.
It is. I have a couple made there.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I have a couple of tailors that I work with in Hong Kong. But that's another thing.
Do those tailors have computers?
I have a question for you, Dave. What did you do in Washington?
Well, there was a meeting. I had a meeting with Secretary Napolitano, Janet Napolitano, and Secretary Gary Locke, who is soon to be the ambassador to China. And it was about a public-private partnership that I belong to.
Wait.
Public-private partnership.
Oh, okay. I thought you said public-pirate.
He said private.
Private.
Yeah.
Yeah. Public-private partnership that I'm a part of.
What's the purpose of this partnership?
To educate people about computer security.
Oh, now, wait a minute. What is there to educate about them?
Well, there's a lot to educate people about. You know, you've never asked me this before. Listeners, you won't necessarily see any symptoms if there's some security breach on your computer. They don't always burst into flames or slow down or anything. Many of the most popular hacks are completely invisible and without symptom at all. You can't tell if you have a rootkit on your system. You can't tell if there's a botnet on your system.
Well, this awareness thing that you're doing, how will the public know what to do?
Well, frequently the public can't do anything, but what they need to know is what we're trying to train people is how to be better cyber citizens up front. We want people to control their impulses, impulse control, and better computer hygiene.
What does that mean?
Impulse control means don't click on it. Don't click on that.
Wait. David, let me ask you.
Don't.
Now. Are you going to create some programs or
no?
Yes, actually, that's what it's all about. There will be some public service announcements.
Oh, public service announcements.
Yeah, that'll be teaching people. The first ones are about cyberbullying and name calling and why not to use free public wireless networks and believe that you're secure. You can see the PSAs up at stopthinkconnect.org.
Well, let me ask you. How much is it going to cost the public to get these messages out?
I haven't a clue. I don't even know how much money I've got in my pocket.
Money's no object.
It was actually both the public and the private sector paid for this in equal amounts.
Well, how many private companies were there in this symposium?
Oh, 60.
60?
Wow.
Wait a minute. What's it like to have 60 people talking all at one time?
Well, actually, when I'm in the room, 60 people don't talk all at one time. They all stop and listen to me. Actually, they all stopped and listened to Janet Napolitano. Secretary level is very big kahuna, big mojo on the Hill there, right?
Yes, that's pretty
high up in the world. And we had two secretaries talking to us and Howard Schmidt. You know Howard Schmidt.
Yes.
Well, I didn't even say anything. I just sat politely and I could hear my eyelids blink.
Was this the first session of its kind or this
no,
was an
we've
ongoing?
We've been at this for years.
For years. Okay.
Yeah.
So how long have you been doing it?
Years. I was in the first meeting.
When was the first meeting?
January of 2009 for this public-private partnership.
So you're saying it's only during this administration that this initiative
right.
has started.
But, you know, my first meeting in the White House, which is where this topic first came up,
mm-hmm.
was in 1999.
During the Clinton years.
Yes. The very end of the Clinton administration. Mm-hmm. We met with Richard Clark and Al Gore in the ceremonial office of the Secretary
now,
of State.
Now, I'm going to ask you a very loaded question, which is, so 11, 12 years have gone by. How come security hasn't gotten any better?
Well, the bad guys have gotten better, too. Actually, if we took away the security that you're protected with right now, and I know what you're using, but if you took it away, you would be hacked in a minute.
I doubt it.
I don't think so.
I'll tell you one security measure that I use.
What's that?
I don't use a cloud for transactions.
You don't use a clown for
cloud.
Transactions?
Cloud.
I just had to say
All right. Yeah.
Okay. Almost all of the hacks that we know are hitting you right on your client. They're not hitting the session.
You're talking about the scams, the phishing, the phony.
I'm talking about botnets, rootkits.
What do you mean by client?
Your Windows-based computer is the most vulnerable
social
thing in the entire world. No, beyond social engineering.
Beyond social engineering.
Most of the malware does not live on the server. It lives on your client. Your client.
Explain to the listeners what a client is.
A client is your Windows-based computer.
Oh, okay.
Well, let me ask you this, Dave. You know, it was just recently listed that they did a survey of about 400,000 machines, and they came up with an estimate of the installed base of at least with enterprise systems, meaning in companies, 60% are still XP, but it's decreasing. But I was surprised. 11% are Apples.
Yeah.
And you know, 7 is moving up there, and Vista is almost disappearing, like 6% now. With all these different platforms, are the attacks similar in all of them, or they're all different? Because like the Apple, is it any different, any more secure than the Windows?
The major attack surface for computers is no longer the operating system. It is now the browser helper objects and the applications that run downstream of the browser.
Aha! So you're saying the Apple is more secure because you have brighter people using it?
No.
Only because it's a minority share of machines.
He's talking about the browser.
No, wait a minute. When you say minority share, does it matter then whether it's minority or majority, the attacks are still there? Or you're saying because minority... The hackers or the crackers, whatever you want to call them, spend less time concentrating on that group of people.
The second, I've said this 50 times in this show, but yeah, it's because you're Boris and you're a big time Eastern European hacker boss criminal. You can spend your development capital attacking the 93% of worldwide Windows machines or the 3% of worldwide Apple machines. Which one are you going to attack?
Well, let me put it this way.
Because the same attack will not attack them both.
But why not? Because if it's through the browser and you're trying to do people, you know, like social engineering, it really doesn't matter.
No. We're not talking about social engineering.
Okay, you're talking about the
malware attacks.
Malware. Okay, now what about the social engineering part that is being...
Social engineering, Apple people are just as liable as Windows people.
Okay, but in terms of hardware attacks... let's say, in terms of hardware and software, which is greater, hardware or software?
Well, there's no attacks on hardware, period.
No attacks on hardware.
Yeah.
There can be.
There haven't ever been any at all. I've investigated all of this stuff.
How are you going to attack hardware? How?
I've done it.
How? Well, there's the famous attack, the 20 megabyte Western Digital hard drive by overparking.
Yes.
But we ran 1,000 of those drives for a year trying to do that and couldn't make any of them do it.
Yeah, how are you going to attack hard drive? Hardware, how? How are you going to do it? How?
Oh, it can be done.
Explain it.
Stevie, there's something you can do. You can erase the flash ROM BIOS on a system, and then you're kind of up the creek. However, most motherboards now are write protecting the BIOS.
Exactly.
You know?
Only if it's set.
Only if it's set.
Only if it's set.
Okay? Generally, you cannot do anything
now,
to
the
hardware.
In the old days, the BIOS was a removable ROM.
That's right.
Okay? Now it's burnt in and it becomes a brick.
The 50s?
No.
Yeah,
no,
I know.
No.
Back in the 80s.
No.
Yeah, the
90s.
80s.
90.
Yeah.
It goes
80s,
in the 80s 90s. And 90s.
Come on, we're in the 21st century now.
Hey, you know, by the way, since you're a world traveler, let me ask you a question. There was a major conference that just concluded, ICANN, and you could talk about what ICANN is, and they just came up with some proposals on what they call GTLDs, which is generic top-level domains. What the heck is that?
Well, the top-level domain is like .com, .bat. .gov.
There's about 22 of them.
.edu. Well, no, there's a lot now. I
now now there's going to be a lot.
Yeah.
Well, like it's going to be, it can be in Cyrillic. It
right.
It could be in Chinese. It could be in, like, now, wait a minute. What does that do for security?
It is a double-edged sword.
Where is the plus and where's the minus?
The plus is in that a lot of things will be identified as to what country they're coming from right off the bat. So if you're wanting to, for example, eliminate Belgium, so Belgium becomes toxic, you can just eliminate BEL as an extension, and that, and also, you know, map around their 16-bit address space. But the other thing that's going along with this is IPv6. So there will be more places to hide, but more clarity in labeling of where a thing is in the world. Does that make sense?
Yeah, the only thing is,
and
that
there's going to be .xxx, which, you know, is what? That's an official porn designation.
They should have it.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Stevie, I understand your need to say you should have it.
No, they should have it so that, you know, parents can say no XXX websites.
By the way, since both of you guys are musicians.